www.tantalkradionetwork.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, my guest is going to be talking about book publicity. Wow. You know, this is a great subject, and I am so excited that she's going to be with me. Barbara Probst has been on the program before, and she's going to join me again. But right now, I can tell you, I'm talking to somebody who knows about publicity, because she's gotten the best. And so my first guest today, and I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Jacqueline Michard. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, and thank you for having me. I just wish I was where you are.
Where are you?
The frozen wastes of Massachusetts.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, we are lucky. It is so beautiful here today. It's one of these glorious days that you want to just spin around out there. It's so beautiful out there.
Way to rub it in.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Well, you know, my brother lives in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he's always hoping for more snow.
He must be a skier.
Well, yeah, he's a skier and outdoorsman, and he just loves snow. My sister-in-law says he's crazy, but, you know, she loves him. What the heck? So you guys are freezing up there.
Well, I live on Cape Cod. Don't get a lot of snow.
But it's cold.
When I lived in, I come from Wisconsin.
Ah.
You know, we had plenty of days there where the snow was as tall as our children when they were little.
Yeah, well, you cheeseheads, you get the snow too, like we do.
Yeah.
And of course, youpers love cheeseheads.
A great friend of mine is from up there, another author, Karen Dion, who wrote The Marsh King's Daughter, lives in the Upper Peninsula, and she's so lovely.
Yeah, well,
she loves everything about the woods and the snow.
Yeah, I know some people do, and I got out of that. I can't stand it anymore. But it is just wonderful to talk to to somebody from Wisconsin. I mean, we were practically neighbors.
Yeah,
and you are so amazing. I'm thinking about you, and being reminded, of course, of as a book lover, when Oprah announced that she was going to be promoting books, I was, you know, right there. I was so eager for it. So I sort of remember her first book.
I remember that, too.
Yeah, isn't it funny?
Nobody thought it was going to have a big effect on... Nobody thought it was going to have a big effect on publishing.
Oh, it has. It has. It has been marvelous for authors. And for you, I mean, you were the first one, and it must have been pretty exciting.
It was very exciting, but I will tell you, my publisher at the time did not get terribly excited about it. The publicist, who was a great friend of mine, said to me, "Listen, you know, these are not the same media. People who watch daytime TV, they don't read books, and vice versa."
So
expect it to have a huge effect. Well, by the night that she announced the first book club book, that night there were 4,000 holds on the book at the New York Public Library.
Unbelievable. Well, of course, that book is called The Deep End of the Ocean. It was your first book. I mean,
yes, it was my first book. It was the little book that could. No, I knew that it was when I was writing, and I was in my late 30s. I was a young widow. I had three little boys under the age of 10, and I did it because I wanted to prove to myself that there could possibly be good times again for us, so I tried to do something impossible. I had never written a book. I had never had a published story. I was a newspaper woman and a speechwriter, but I had never done any like creative writing since the first semester of freshman year in college. And I knew when I finished it that it was good enough to get published, but I never would have imagined. I mean, millions of copies in 34 languages around the world. I never would have imagined anything like that for it.
And turned into a film. I mean, it's like
a wonderful film, actually.
It is. And, you know, this is such a Cinderella story type of thing. You know, it's a miracle kind of story. And of course, writers live for that. You know, you love to write, but there's always that little bit of hope that something like this will happen. And it's wonderful how authors really are so happy for other authors when they achieve something like what you've achieved.
That is, truer words never were spoken. It's absolutely the case that for every person who said, oh, it should have been me, and I'm much more of a major writer than that pretender, for everyone who said that, there were 100 people who said, you go, girl, you know, you do it for all of us. It was just a wonderfully life-affirming thing. And also those same people, when years later, after I had made my wonderful fortune and then it was all taken away by an investment theft that my husband got involved in, those people were all sympathetic to me, too. And all of them said, you know, we want you to come back and keep on writing. So as a community, writers and readers have tended to be very generous to me, and I hope I'm that way to them as well.
Well, I think that, first of all, your books are so beautifully written. You have a way with words. You are a wordsmith, which is, I think, the best compliment for an author, that you just know how to string those words together. And, of course, you also have a wonderful, rich vocabulary, I think, that enhances your writing. But it just comes, it's so seamless as I always recognize a book that really means something to me when I see it as a movie in my head. And of course, I was one of those people. I bought the first Oprah. I think I, you know, was ready to join the club the minute she announced it. And when I read the book, I saw it as a film in my head.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Interesting. Many people have said that they pictured who would be in it. Of course, I didn't. I'm not that much of a visual person. But, of course, we care about the effect. I mean, you're not really... I hear writers all the time. I have lots of friends who are writers. In fact, most of my best friends, with the exception of a couple, are writers. And they always say to me that they picture the movie, they picture who's going to be in it and things like that, but I never did.
Well, it's funny, you know, because I worked in Hollywood, and one of the things that I did, I would adapt books for film, you know, and turn a book into a script.
Like what one?
Oh, well, I was not famous in those days. I was like the third person they came to when the first two didn't quite get it. And so over the years, quite a few different scripts. You know, in Hollywood, they go through a lot of hands. You know, you're not one person adapting a book.
Okay, so, sure.
But I had fun when I was there. It was, but I always felt bad because I never got a really good book to do. I could have done yours in a minute. And some of the books I did were absolutely terribly challenging, because there was, in one book, actually, I used 120 words that the author wrote. I mean, out of the whole book, only 120 words, you know. But in your case, it's so visual. Well, all of your books are visual, and now there's how many of their adult books you have?
This is, well, counting, I mean, this is my 13th novel for adults, and then that's what we're really talking about here.
Yeah, today, The Good Son.
What?
So today, we're talking about The Good Son.
Yes.
Which is your latest, which is number, what, 8? 7?
No, 13.
13 for adults. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, it's, again, a very visual book. So let's talk a little bit about that, and then maybe we'll come back and talk about Oprah and the film a little bit.
Okay.
But The Good Son, of course, is one of the great things. And as you said, so many of your friends are writers, and so many of your friends said such wonderful things about your book. I was, looking at some of the... It's always nice when you get blurbs from an author, and... Karen Slaughter, who I love her. She was here at BoucherCon a few years ago, and
yes, I love Karen. We go way back.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And then Kristen Hanna. I mean, really, you've got everybody saying wonderful things about you.
Well, they're my friends, and they would have said wonderful things even if they didn't love the book, but they wouldn't have said such wonderful things. They would have said, "Oh, she's done it again. How nice!"
Well, yeah, when Karen Slaughter says it's gripping and suspenseful and downright good, that's pretty exciting. So tell us about this new story. It's an interesting concept, and I think again, I have a feeling this is going to be a film. We're going to see this on the screen.
We're hoping that. We have some real big interest in it right now, and we're hoping that that's the case. This is a story. It's a story that's very particular to two people, a mother and a son. Of course, there are other people involved, but it's about a woman who is trying to help her son, who's only not even 20 years old, when he comes out of prison after serving several years in prison for manslaughter in the death of the girl he loved. And she is the only one who is really welcoming him back, trying to help him find his way. The whole rest of the community and even some of his own family are against him and don't want anything to do with him, and understandably. And so there's not a big welcome for Stefan, but Thea knows that she is the person who must be the person who has to stand beside him. And even she is sometimes finding that difficult.
Well, you know, when I find always when I start a story, if I immediately see the scene in my head, when you write the opening, you know, it's in first person and it's from the mother. And as you write this first paragraph, how did you have to work on that first paragraph many times, or did it just come naturally to you?
You know, most of my stories don't come naturally to me. I'm not that writer who, I'm sure you have interviewed the writer who says, it was like I was taking dictation from the universe and the words just flowed. But I'm not usually that writer.
Well, I thought it was, you know, the first paragraph is so good. And then the second paragraph, where you analyze the first paragraph, I also enjoyed that. Right away I got into the mind of the mother. And I thought that was done so brilliantly.
Well, you know, you want to, that first sentence about I was picking my son up at the prison gates when I caught sight of the mother of the girl he had murdered. I think that's what it says, or close to it. You want to hook the reader in immediately with your first sentence and invite that reader to trust you, that you're going to have a thrilling story, you're going to have a reading experience that you're going to remember, and that's going to make a big difference to you, and somehow the first sentence has to convey that.
Well, you achieved it, because once you read that, and then I love how you explain it, you know, from a grammatical point of view, which I thought was really clever.
That was intentional because she's an English teacher.
Yeah, that's what I said. You automatically feel how this woman thinks, and that was so clever to do that.
It's certainly a position that the whole story, in a sense, it's told from Thea's point of view, and she finds herself in a position, of course, no one ever expects to have a child who'll be convicted of a horrible crime and incarcerated, but she less than other people, because this was a gentle, unassuming kid, not the smartest kid in the world, not the dumbest, you know, got decent enough grades, loved his girlfriend, never a hint of violence in his life.
And then you draw us into this story, and little by little, you just pull us in like a ball of yarn. You know, it's just keep spinning the story. It's really, really intriguing.
Well, that's what you try to do, and with a story that has a mystery in it, this is not a classic mystery story like an Agatha Christie mystery where a bunch of people are gathered and you have to figure out who the murderer is. It's not that kind of story, but there is a mystery in it. And when you have a story that is a mystery for all of the writers out there who want to write a mystery, and certainly they're among the most viable and popular of all kinds of books right now, it is important that everything be out there, that all the clues are displayed, they're hidden in plain sight, so that when people look at them, people look back at the end, after the end of the book, and they say, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, you know, that was why she wore that red dress. And then everything makes sense to them.
Well, you accomplished that. I think it's very, of course, your writing, as I said, is beautiful. You, evocative of the, where the location, you take us to the location, you make us understand the people. And, of course, in this case, it's, you know, you have a character, the son, who's been convicted of something. So you have to really draw the reader into this, to care about him and to really, start this whole process of wondering what exactly happened that night.
Well, that's exactly what my agent said to me at the outset when I said I wanted to write this story. He said, you know, you're going to get in trouble, because there's no way that you can make someone like that appealing or even someone that the reader cares to know about. Not just that the person would be someone who the reader cared about, but even cares to know about. And there wouldn't be much sympathy for his mother either. And I said, no, that's not true. I already care about them, and I can help readers to care about them. But it started with, the whole story started with a true incident that I experienced, and so I knew it was possible.
And you accomplished it. I'm sure that it's going to be, as I said, when I get a book and I see it as a film in my head, I've told a couple of different authors over the years, and it's turned out. And so I know that we'll see this, now we'll see it in streaming video. Of course, with the previous book, with Oceans, it was a major motion picture with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, and Whoopi Goldberg and Treat Williams. There were a lot of people in it who were just really terrific actors. And Michelle was also the producer of the movie. Her company, Via Rosa, was one of the producers of the movie. She did a beautiful job with it. I thought she was. And it was also just really. I mean, I hope any book. Whenever writers say, "Oh, I just hope it isn't going to be made into a movie because it just ruins it." First of all, I think they're lying because everybody wants their book to be made into a movie because there's a lot of money there, and writers don't make that much on the face of it. But also, it's the ultimate fate of a good book is to be made into a film that more people can enjoy in different ways, and also that more people read the book. So it's a self-perpetuating thing. And it was just such a fun experience. It was really, really fun.
So did you get to be on the set?
I didn't really have anything to do with the screenplay, but we did go and visit the set, which was a lot of fun. I went with one of my children who was, he's grown up now. He's 30 now, but he was, he was a young kid then. He's 32 now. I guess he was like 9 or 10. And we went and had a wonderful time and met all the actors. They were all so sweet to him and so kind to me. And we went to a fancy party up in the Hollywood Hills. And it just was, it was a glimpse at a part of, well, you know what it's
like. No, I know. And it is thrilling. And it's thrilling to be on set. I mean, that's one of the most exciting things, to be on set when they are making a film and to see, you know, to be part of it. And, of course, with the cast that you had, I love Treat Williams. I think he's fantastic. And, of course, Whoopi Goldberg. Wow. What can you say? Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and Treat Williams was a very nice person. He had been, he was very grateful for the role because it helped get him back. He had been in trouble. With cocaine.
And, yeah, I know. But I love his acting, and I was really happy with. I think it's a great film. And
it is. He was very good in the part, very believable, and a very sweet person.
Well, you know, it is a, as you said, a dream come true for most writers, for most authors. The only one I can think of who didn't want her books turned into film is Sue Grafton, who was on Joy on Paper.
And now, after Sue's death, that's exactly what's happening.
Oh, of course. She knew it. You know, we were in Hollywood at the same time. She was also, you know, she was in the film business for a very short time because she didn't like it. And so we were around about the same time, and she knew what they would. She just couldn't stand it. I mean, she was offered so many times, you know, when she was alive. I think at Letter B, she was already offered, and she just wouldn't take it. But she knew, of course, they would do it. And we almost got to Z. We almost got to Z with her. We were really close.
A lovely person.
Oh,
friend is a close friend of mine, Elizabeth Berg. They were best friends in when she was alive, and it was just a big loss to everybody.
Oh, it was because she was wonderful and a great friend to Joy on Paper when she was alive, and so I've continued to promote her books. You know, that's one of the things I do. I like to promote authors who are no longer with us because you can't forget those books. Those books are great, and as you said, now they're going to make film out of that. But I think we'll also see The Good Son, which I'm sure will be on streaming video at some point. And
that's,
I think,
fun. Huh? I'd love that.
Well, you know, you are a fantastic writer. It's an honor to talk to you. I know that you do a lot for authors, and what are some of the things that you are involved in promoting other authors?
Well, I'm involved in a group of all women writers called the Tall Poppies. And it's an association of 50, I think it's 50, women authors who all work to promote each other's books, because women's books, books by women authors, tend to be either not as much valued or overlooked. And this group feels an obligation. It was founded by my great friend, my best friend, Ann Garvin, who is an author, and started this organization so that women could promote each other. Also, I work with in development with a lot of younger or beginning authors in trying to shape their books toward with the view toward publication, both as a private editor and in at the MFA programs where I teach writing.
Well, so, you know, it's been a now you have a website. What's your website?
JacquelineMichard.com, www.JacquelineMichard.com.
And they can also find you, I'm sure, on Facebook. And Jacqueline, it's been a joy to talk to you today.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I thank you so much for letting me be a part of this.
Well, I know that you're going to be back, because I'm sure you're working on yet another book.
Yes, I am.
That's called The Joy of Writing.
That's right.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. We'll be right back, and I have a great guest coming up.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, and this is going to be fun. Barbara Probst, how are you today?
Oh, hi, Patsy. It's always good to talk to you. I'm doing great.
Well, it's nice to talk to you because you've been here for Queen of the Owls and The Sound Between the Notes, and I wanted to catch up with you and find out what's going on with you now, and also because you have a seminar coming up that you are doing as part of Jane Friedman's seminars for writers. So this is an exciting time for you.
It is. You know, there's so much going on. Like, when we first talked about the Queen of the Owls, that was number one, and which is now out in audiobook, I'm very excited to say. And that's done. And then The Sound Between the Notes had a wonderful year because it was chosen by Kirkus, which, you know, is people in the trade know Kirkus is, like, notoriously hard to please. They're known as being very grumpy and very, very tough. And they chose it as one of the best indie books of the whole year of 2021. So that was super cool. So and it's fun for me to kind of work both ends, to be writing and also to be helping other writers. So, yeah, I have a new webinar. Actually, it's on Thursday. And do you want me to tell a little bit about it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. That's why I wanted you on before the webinar.
And, well, you know, the whole thing that authors just agonize over is about getting the word out. You can write the most incredible book ever, but if nobody knows it exists, then, you know, it doesn't quite fulfill the reason you wrote it, which was to reach people. So this whole thing about marketing and publicity, and there's a lot of mystique around it. So what I wanted to do was walk people through what does a publicist do and what does a publicist not do? How to have realistic expectations, how much is it going to cost, how do different publicists approach it, how do they price it, how do you find one that's a good fit for you? Because just because somebody looks like they did a great job on so-and-so's book, it doesn't mean that they're the right one for you. And then once you've found that person, how do you work together in a successful way so that afterwards you really feel that you are a good team? So that's a lot for an hour, but I'm going to do it.
Well, and it's such an important subject, and particularly in these days where the events that writers used to be able to go to, the conventions and all of the places where they could get together, meet other authors and meet fans, they're just not happening.
Exactly. It's really still going to be virtual. And, you know, the good part of the virtual, of course, is you can reach people all over the country who never could have come. Let's say you were doing a bookstore event in your town. And you can also reach people who maybe have babysitter issues or transportation issues. So by doing it virtually or having it, you know, then recorded and available as a to check in later, it really is a great thing. But for sure, I mean, everything is on the author now. It's just the way it is. You have to learn to be strategic. And I think one of the things that is so important to me that I want to tell people is no one can do everything. So you have to pick the things that you are comfortable with, that you can do well, that you enjoy, and that are strategic for your particular book. So it's not about spending more money, time. It's about spending strategically. So that's, like, huge, you know? Otherwise, we make ourselves crazy.
And many authors are actually going crazy because of this.
It's really true, because there's this thing. You hear that somebody did something, and you think that you better do it or else you're going to miss out on something super important. But, you know, it isn't like that, and you really have to learn what your goals are, what your style is, and what are the pieces that you can do yourself, and what are the pieces that you need a professional for. And some of that depends on your lifestyle, you know, like how much free time you have, how comfortable you are doing certain things, and so forth. And it's really, I want to give people the tools to make smart decisions that fit who they are and what their book is about.
And, you know, so many authors, particularly the ones who are just starting off, for indie authors, but even for those who have agents and who are published by a major house, they don't understand the difference between you know, what an agent is supposed to do for them, what a publicist is supposed to do for them. From my point of view, I get from publicists, I am now getting 2, 3, 4 books a day. I'm getting so many books. Now, how do I select those books? Even the ones, you know, I get them. The ones that I get from publicists who, before they send it to me, they write me a letter and they explain why I should, you know, read this author. It's not that I ever read the blurbs that they send me or all of that stuff, but when they are personally enthusiastic about an author, somebody they care about, I get that vibe. I can feel it.
Well, that's so important. Yeah, absolutely. It's really, isn't it? It's about a kind of vitality and a kind of sincerity. And, you know, you're just so right. And it's really tough. And it's tough for everybody, for people at the pitching end, for the middleman, and for people at the receiving end. You know, it's really, well, I should get you on that webinar. I can't. No, it's just, you know, it's really a presentation. And for people who can't attend in person, you know, they get the whole recording and the slides and all that stuff. But it's so, you know, and the other thing is that what you were just saying, that sometimes if somebody signs with a sort of decent a publishing house, they think they don't have to do anything themselves, and then they're surprised later when it didn't work out the way that they thought. And the other thing for authors is I tell them that you are your own best advocate, because the publisher has the publisher's interests in mind. Only you can really be speaking from the heart about your vision. So it's a complicated matter for sure. And the other thing I think that's really important is the difference between publicity and marketing. So there's the great saying that marketing is bought and paid for, like if you buy an ad. Publicity is sought and prayed for. Isn't that good?
Very good. That's exactly right, because authors don't understand the difference. Sometimes I'm talking to an author and I will say, well, you should really, you know, I can see where this book should go. I can see what you should be doing. And they don't understand it. And even from the publicist point of view, I have one publicist particular who, Kim Dower her company is called Kim from LA. Now, when Kim sends me an author, first of all, she's vetted the author to know that it's a kind of book that I would probably be interested in reading. But she makes sure that when she sends it, she sends it in a white envelope with a big, you know, notice on it, so I'll notice it. Because when you get somebody like me, when I'm now getting piles of books, you know, all in sort of brown wrappers, when she sends me one, I see it right away. She's got a big happy sticker on it, a big, you know, you can already feel the enthusiasm she's had just in putting that book in an envelope for me with just a note across it. This one, Patsy, I know you're going to love. And the author, I was just on the phone with him, and he is such a sweet guy. Please read this book. You know, so it's all in your attitude and the enthusiasm that an author has to generate with the publicist they're working with.
Well, you know, you said something so important. She knows the kind of books you like. And that's the whole key. The word to me is the fit. Everything is about the fit. And it's the same thing for the author in choosing a publicist. You know, it doesn't matter that this person represented, you know, Kristen Hanna or blah, blah, blah. Is that person a good fit for me, for my kind of book, for my personality, for my goals, for my audience, you know? And some publicists or some people, some authors that I know, like a lot of hand-holding. I didn't need that. You know, I just wanted somebody who was going to be, who knew what she was doing, you know. And it's all, and I give people these a list
of questions to ask that are not going to be on anybody's website, you know, but they're going to be questions that you need to have in the dialogue with a publicist or a marketing person or a branding person or whatever, whoever you want to hire, to figure out if you guys are going to be able to work well together. What's your communication style? What's your energy level? Just like you said, you know, how hands-on are you? How much do you expect me to do? Will you listen to my ideas? You know, all of that stuff. It just makes all the difference because, like you said, you have a choice of 20 books you can read this week. And you're going to pick based on who you are, your interests, your time, your relationships, all of that, right?
Oh, yeah. In many cases, it is who you know and, you know, who your publicist knows. So one of the things that authors, particularly indie authors, well, they don't understand that in a way it is, you know, writing is a business. You have the fun of writing, but it's also a business. And most authors, when they start off, they have no budget in mind for publicity or for marketing. They have nothing. It's not a game plan. They don't have a game plan. but they have to have, to be successful in these days, you have to have a game plan.
Yeah, but that goes back to what is your goal? What's your vision? I mean, for some people that I know, who, let's say, who've written a memoir, it's a one and done. They have a story and they want to tell it. They want to help others. Perhaps you have a memoir of what it was like to have a child commit suicide. I'm just making this up. So they have a mission to help other parents. And so that's their goal. And then they're done. Somebody else, their book is to support their company, you know, what they do. Someone else, it's a stepping stone in what they hope will become a multi-novel career. And so maybe they want to start by getting a small, curated reputation. You know what I mean? It's really about your goal, your vision, and your plan has to emanate from that. Because, again, nobody can do everything. And you need help. You need a guide. You need a community of other authors that you can bounce ideas off each other that are not your competitors, but they're your tribe. So there's so many parts to this.
So this is exciting for you to be able to work with Jane Friedman because, of course, she's been supporting authors and helping authors for so many years now.
Yeah, Jane is, she's the best, and she's wonderful. This is my second webinar with her. The first one was about the hybrid path, as you might remember. I think we talked about that. Mm-hmm. Very misunderstood, but definitely a growing path because it's a middle ground between do it all yourself and, you know, pray that Random House will pick you. So, you know, it's very much a growing field And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say, it's funny, Patsy, like, when we hear that a movie was done by an indie filmmaker, that's just, we think that it's creative and it's cool, and there's absolutely no, nothing to apologize for. Same with indie musicians. And I think indie authors who go with tiny presses or hybrid presses or assisted self-publishing should feel the same way. And we're still a little bit, I think, in the backward when it comes to other art forms. Am I allowed to say that?
No, you're right. You're right. I think so, too. Because, you know, what I love is when an indie author, and there are some who have just, I mean, they are phenomenal successes, but they have put a lot into it, too. They haven't waited for other people to do everything for them. They have gone out there, and they have this attitude. I can tell when somebody is really enthusiastic, they take every opportunity to promote their books because they have to be, in a way, a walking billboard for their books.
Well, you know, that's really true. I wrote an article a couple of years ago, which actually Jane published. I called it Marathon Sprints and Pounces,
And a marathon is the long-term strategy, you know, that you put some of these things in place and it might not yield results for a while. The sprints are the short launch-related planned. And then the pounce is when somebody says, hey, do you want to come and do this thing? And you just say yes, which is exactly what you're saying, right? You just do it. Like, I remember this. I had this opportunity with Queen of the Owls. Someone said, you want to take part in the Dolly Parton look-alike contest. Don't even get me started about that one. But I put on a wig and a tiara, and I just went for it, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You have to do these things. You have to just enjoy them. It's part of the fun of being a writer is to just put yourself out there and make it into a joyous thing for yourself and for the people who are going to read your book. I have an author whose book I love. It is a wonderful book. It is one of those evergreen books. It should be picked up and read. There's one particular day of the year that this book relates to. And this day, if this author would listen to me and just get out there and promote it on that, you know, months beforehand with that day in mind, because it is an important day. But again, he just won't do it. He's like waiting for somebody to come along and do it for him.
Oh, you know, and that is so right. You can't do that. And the other thing, you know, when it is joy, it is fun, but it's also very vulnerable. And you're putting yourself out for people who might not all, what if someone doesn't like my book, right? Or whatever, and it's a risk. And you have to just embrace that vulnerability. It can be hard. I mean, I remember the moment when I gave my very first public talk about Queen of the Owls, and I was on this sort of stage thing, and I had this moment, you know, when I could either hide behind, well, I'm this author, you know, or I could just be human and real and let it all hang out. And needless to say, I did the latter, and it was life-changing for me. So it's, I think, part of the message with what you're bringing us about joy is it's okay to be scared, but it's really going to make you grow as a person, right?
It does. It does. The ones who are enthusiastic about themselves, mm-hmm. it flows right through everything that they do, their life, the people they meet, whether they're sitting in a restaurant and they start talking to somebody about their book, and you see the change on their face, and you see the change on the person who is listening to the author. It's just wonderful, this connection that words written on a piece of paper can make between people. And that's what we're after. So tell people, how can they find you, your website, and also how can they get into this seminar?
Absolutely. First, I just have to say, this is why you and I get along so well. we have the same vibe, the same attitude. All right. So if you look me up, Barbara Lynn Probst. Now, the Lynn is L-I-N-N, and Probst is P-R-O-B-S-T. The website, you can just look me up by that, or the website is www.BarbaraLynnProbst.com. You can find out about my two books. There's freebies on there, free PDF downloads of all kinds of cool stuff about Georgia O'Keeffe, all kinds of cool stuff about music, and links to interviews and recordings. You will not be sneakily signed up for some newsletter. It's just my gift to you. And as far as the webinar, the best thing is to go to Jane Friedman's site. You can sign up. It's this Thursday. If you can't make it, you'll be given all the stuff in a recording and a PDF. And even if you're not ready to start publicizing, this is not going to go out of date. It's just, you know, it's you can keep it in on your bookshelf, so to speak, for when you're ready.
Exactly, because it is something that you should have in the back of your mind, even as you're writing, knowing that. Just like if you open a cupcake bakery, you have a lot of things that you have to do. There's a lot of signage, a lot of contracts, a lot of equipment, a lot of things that you have to do. So it's a business. Writing is a business. And this seminar is a great investment. It's so cheap. You get such value.
It's ridiculous. I have to say also, if you wait until your book is finished to start thinking about a publicity and marketing plan, it's too late.
Exactly. It's too late.
Really, for I think Jane charges $25.
Yeah, $25.
It's really a bargain. And I would say, you know, you could just you get all the materials, you just save them on your desktop until you're ready. And then, you know, it's like having a really good friend already waiting to help you when you're ready for her, like that.
Exactly. That's the right attitude to have. And I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. You are always a treat. It's just always delightful to talk to you because, I just got the, I just ordered, I had my Audible, whatever. I'm going to start listening to Owls. So,
That's so cool. Now, I have one last little thing.
Yeah.
Nobody knows this, but you know, okay? I'm going to come back next fall because I have a third novel coming out next fall. I haven't released the title or cover or anything yet, but this is a secret. So if anybody's listening, they can just tuck that away.
Okay, and you make sure you send me the release date because you will be on that day, okay?
All right, sweetie. Take good care.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, she's so sweet. And really, the seminar is always, Jane Friedman seminars are worth the money, $25. As she said, you get all of the information to download and to keep. And the important thing is how to pick a publicist because, you know, I know people who have paid a lot of money for publicists who couldn't even write just a simple press release. And they paid, I know somebody who's paid $850 for a publicist whose press release was so bad that I was almost laughing, except I was crying for the person, and I landed up rewriting the press release, but the $850 had already gone. So please get this. Go to Jane Friedman and get this seminar that's going to be on Thursday. And meanwhile, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry and her new series. I love her new series, Haunted Haven. And we're going to have a wedding for her Witch City mystery series, and that's coming up in April. Well, she's a busy girl, writing away, probably right now at her typewriter. I understand she has a new desk and a new friend, so we're going to hear more about that. We'll have a chat. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything. And he saluted me. I saluted him. Oh, I should have been a general. I want to be a general. Would they take me? I'd love to go. I can't say kick. Can I say kick? No, I can't say kick. Well, you know what I would do. I would be tough. Bye-bye now.